Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Quite a gospel, huh? Packed full of things we call miracles. Let's go over a couple of them. You've probably heard me, some of you have known me a while. I've preached on different things related to Sunday. There's so much in this gospel. So much. It's one reason why the church reads it every year. You know, we have a 3-year cycle reading, but every year, the second Sunday of Easter, we have this gospel because it's so loaded. And the dramatic one, of course, the one that would be great in the movies, is Jesus coming into the blocked doors. You know, that's good, spectacular stuff. CGI can make a fun, they can do all kinds of fun stuff with that, couldn't they? But think about it. If Jesus is Lord of all, if we take seriously being the Son of God, the creator of all the universe, what's going through a door? A mere trifle, you know. And we are moving in the church year towards the ascension when we partly proclaim that Jesus is able to be present with us everywhere because he is no longer present in only one spot. So if we believe that Jesus is here today, present in our meal, in our lives, what's coming through a couple locked doors? Now, I want you to notice those locked doors, though. That's an important part of the story. These disciples are not real gung-ho, are they? You know, have you ever noticed that about that? That's another one of these miracles, that God chose these clowns, these group, because they all failed the leadership test. When Jesus needed them most, they got up and ran. They denied him. Peter denied him 3 times in public, you know. So no wonder they were afraid, you know, that day. Not only were they afraid of the authorities, because they figured they might be next on the list of people put away, but if this Jesus was alive, like the women were saying, he might want some revenge, you know. After all, they were the ones that let him down. And that's why Jesus comes in and does another miracle. Offers some peace. Shows them the mark of the crucifixion and says, peace be with you. Not I'm angry with you, not you failed, not you bunch of clowns, but peace be with you. To them, as fallible as they were, Jesus lives this blessing and hope of reconciliation. People who should have been at somewhat enmity, people who were worried, fearful, frightened, and that's usually when people get bad, is when they let those things run amok among themselves. To them, Jesus says, peace be with you. And then another miracle. He breathes on them. He gives them the spirit. As you all know, because you've hung around me long enough, that the Hebrew word for breath, at least sounds like it, means breath. So this idea of God's spirit is God's breath, breathing life into us. And he breathes on the disciples and sends them into the world. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure Angie's List could find a better 11 than those 11 that were left. You know? Not a very good candidate. But to them, God has gifted the blessings of the kingdom to be shared. Think about that. To them. Not the select few, not the brightest bulbs in the box, you know, but to them, as varied as they were and as doubtful and fearful as they were, the gift of the Spirit is given. It's a whole other miracle. That one sometimes is hard for me to fathom. I think God could make better choices than to leave the kingdom to us, don't you? He found something out there in the universe that's better than we fallible human beings, and yet it is. It is to us. Because we're a lot like those disciples if we're honest about it, aren't we? You know? We're doubtful, fearful, angry, concerned, you know, worried about retribution from those we have offended, and we sure have a list if you're like me. I'm sure a lot of people have reason to be upset with me. But to us, it's given the gift to share the blessings of God. That's a miracle. All this, all these things, as wonderful as they are not the biggest miracle of this day. Not at all. As important as they are, and they're all very powerful. They teach about God's love and mercy and all those kind of things. But I think the biggest miracle of that first Sunday and even the Sunday following was the disciples of me. Now, that sounds very impressive, doesn't it? Doesn't sound as glamorous as the other miracles there, but think about it. Especially that first week, but even the second week, because the doors are still locked. They're still fearful. They still are worried about things. They're not sure what's going on. They haven't had time to process this because they had seen their hopes and dreams disappear. They thought Jesus wanted to bring in the kingdom. Well, that was going to be militarily or whatever. You can debate about what it means because the word Messiah can mean lots of things in the Hebrew. They thought Jesus was the one. That somehow he would win out in the end and the cavalry would ride in and everything would turn out fine. And it didn't. And he died. And they knew that. And they knew their part in doing so. And yet, here they were. Gathered. Still, something about this Jesus, even against everything logical that they could think of, compelled them to be there. Two things. One, they were there. Second, they were there together. The two are intertwined in this greatest of God's miracles. They were there. They had to be. And the one who gets the guns who get in trouble, the ones who weren't there. Think about the story. Think about Peter and Judas. I'll give you that one. It's good, easy. Try to tell Jesus what to do. Check, check. Try to do things their way. Check, check. Stubborn. Yes, yes. Deny Jesus. Yes, yes. What's the difference in the two? Judas fled, gave up hope. Peter, despite his public embarrassment, and it must have been really embarrassing for Peter to show up with his disciples after his bold claim that he never would in his denial, he's there. There is something in our faith in Jesus that compels us to gather, to be here, to be where we think Jesus is, to talk about, to think about, to hear about. It doesn't mean our faith is abounding. Look at those 11. Fearful, locked behind doors. And a week later, were they? Fearful, locked behind doors. It was a hard process to prod them to get out of their comfort zone, to get out into the world. It took God quite a while. And yet, just their being there, just their having enough faith to show up, despite their doubts and their anxieties and all the stuff that was happening, with just enough faith for God to act. That's all God needs. Yes, it's great when we have those moments of triumphant faith, you know, when we think we have things and they fit together. But that usually is the time we get into trouble, isn't it? When we think we have everything put together. God calls us as we are. Mixed feelings, mixed motives, doubts and fears, good and bad. That is the area in which faith works. Not in perfection. None of us are perfect. It works among that milieu, that soup of doubt and fear, joy and sadness. And it works when we're together. Thomas has problems because he was not there. It wasn't so much that he was doubtful. After all, this is the same Thomas who was willing to go with Jesus when he went to see Lazarus, knowing that would probably be the death of them all. He wasn't that much older than the other disciples, but he didn't gather with them for some reason. What creates the space for God to speak to him and for this wonderful proclamation that he makes, my Lord and my God, the boldest faith presented in the New Testament at that point, is that he's there with the others. Is this not where we are? Yeah, maybe some of us today have a real gung-ho faith, and that's glad. I'm glad, you know. But maybe some of us today are just kind of, hallelujahs, you know. That's okay. God doesn't need us to all be at the top of our game all the time. God needs us to show up and be open. Be open to his presence. To be open to each other. Christianity is not a Lone Ranger affair. When Christians in the New Testament are by themselves is when they get into trouble. When they gather together with others of faith is when they are strong and mighty. So too, you and I. We gather here today because we know that we're not perfect. We know we have faulted. We know we don't have the strength to do it alone, but we don't have to because God's Spirit breathes on us together. Our different talents, our different abilities, our different places along the way of this journey of faith hold and support and build up each other. And that is a power and a strength that this world does not have anywhere else. As fallible as the church is, and let me tell you, as a history major, I can rattle off a lot of faults of the church, even though I work for it, you know. I'm still reckless of the fact the church has sometimes been harmful in people's lives. But it always comes back, I think, to when the church truly tried to be what it is. Gathered hospital of those sick and needy, with the healthy helping those that are not, and reversing the roles whenever they need to. It is this community gathered together, open to finding God here. There's more than enough room for God to operate. There's no excuses. Look at his disciples. They had no money. Half time they didn't know what they were doing, you know. But God saw them talents and abilities that made them powerful when they were together. So too are we. By ourselves, some of us are better at other things than another, let's be honest. But together, we have all that we need because we have God's breath breathing on us and we have the fellowship, the connection to one another. This is the miracle of miracles. This is what makes all the rest possible. Jesus takes that space that's created by the disciples gathering together to proclaim, peace be with you. And he reminds them, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. This is you and I. Unlike those disciples, we can't wait for Jesus to come through the doors and stand among us. But we believe and trust that he does come, even into the locked doors of our hearts sometimes, and offers us peace and hope. And together, we are a force when that force is geared towards doing the work of the church, which is reconciliation, and grace, and love. It doesn't take much space. A mustard seed, remember Jesus' parable? Any kind of space. Just the fact that you and I are here today and we are gathered means that God is present and he is involved. What we have in this Easter day is all we truly need. Everything else is a blessing upon blessing because we have God's presence and we have each other. Amen.